Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. It has been 2 weeks, I think, give or take, and we apologize for the delay, but, you know, life gets a little crazy sometimes. We've had vacations. We've had guest pastors, but we are back. Mm-hmm. Dan Kinnis, thank you for being back with me. It's so good to have you here. It's so good to do this again.
Yeah, good to be with you, Austin, and with everybody listening.
You surviving the heat wave so far? We're recording, I guess, for clarity, since this will be released on Wednesday, we're recording this on Monday, which is supposed to be ridiculously warm. So do you have any plans for, like, heat wave management or advice for those of us?
Hopefully staying out of it as much as I can. It is hot out. I just was outside, and you can feel it. It's coming. It's in the 90s, so.
It's a bit much. It might give us good opportunities to practice some of this prayer for provision
that we were talking about.
And speaking of prayer, I actually have some related trivia. Normally, our trivia is kind of who knows what Austin's feeling this week, but this week we're going to talk about prayer because we were talking about prayer. And I was curious. I was like, okay, I wonder how many examples of prayer we see in Scripture. Mm. So, Dan, do you have any idea how many times we see an example of prayer in Scripture?
Like an actual prayer, not just the word prayer?
It can be either, you know, the word prayer, like a commandment, go and pray, or it can be a written prayer, like, you know, Job prayed this.
Yeah, okay. Boy, I mean, you think about the whole book of Psalms really is that, so it probably gets up there pretty good. I'll say 2,000.
Actually, okay, it's not that high, but it is pretty dang high in my opinion. There are 650 prayers or commandments to pray recorded in Scripture, which I think is just a crazy amount because we are told, you know, the most common commandment, I've talked about this a lot, but the most common commandment is fear not. Mm. We are given that commandment 365 times, once every day of the year. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. We are given twice the amount of examples of prayer or commandments to pray or instructions on how to do that. Mm-hmm. And I just think that is really crazy. Like, obviously, we know prayer is a foundational part of our faith. But when you see it mapped out like that, that is a lot of...
Yeah.
That's a good reminder.
And from very early on, you see that people praying and like talking about prayer. So it's just... It's always been part of our faith.
And I believe, and you know, I was not the person who went and did all these stats and did the counting myself, but I actually think that a whole bunch of those times, they may have undercounted some of it because, like, when Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God and spoke to God, that part was, you know, they were like, these are the criteria I looked for, and I those didn't match. So there's a whole, like, this is from the before sin. This has been a part of our
communication
experience
with God.
Yeah. It's so cool and so important. And so... To kick off this discussion, just refresh our memory. What did we talk about in regards to prayer this week?
Yeah, so we finished up our Armor of God series, and the last few verses there talk about prayer, and Paul says pray. And we said and noted that there's not a piece of armor connected with prayer, like the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. It's not the such and such of prayer, but it's very clearly connected. Paul, in fact, doesn't even have another verb he uses. He just rolls into this sentence, so it's clearly connected to this whole list he's been given. And really, our image we use is of a military base, and prayer is kind of our spiritual base we need to keep going back to. It's how the means by which we put on these other pieces of armor. And so just as Austin said, vital to our faith. And
I think the phrase you used, I loved. So, you know, you said prayer is the instrument by which we put on all of these pieces of armor, which is such a good way of looking at that, because it's really what enables us to do any of this.
Right. Yeah. And that's, it's like the place we go to get it all, right? And also that's, I guess you could say another way, it's sometimes hard to hear that because I know in my own life at times I'm not going there very often or as often as like I could or should be. So it can be humbling in that sense too. But so we talked about that, how Paul asked for prayer very specifically for himself even. And just we talked about why it's so important and then how in these verses we see how we can be or should be praying too. So, it's kind of where we went with it.
Yeah, and there were like 6 points we talked about. I'm really going to nail in on two of them because they really made me think this last week. The one point I really want to talk about, though, is how, you know, we need to be praying constantly. The phrase you used was with perseverance, which is brilliant word choice. I love the imagery of persevering in prayer because I think it's something we really need to do because prayer is not always easy or fun or something we look forward to even. So, you know, I think of gym analogy. So, you know, the first time you go to the gym, you're very self-motivated. You're like, great, I've got this. Let's do it. It's hard, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to power through it. You go another time, great. And then, like, a week or two passes, and you have to wake up in a blizzard.
Yeah.
It's dark. It's cold. You've got to scrape your car. You've got to stumble your way to the gym. You don't want to do that.
Muscles are sore.
Muscles are sore. And I feel the same way with prayer often, is that, you know, like, either it can be really hard, whether I just don't necessarily feel like talking to God. I don't want to talk to God. Like, we're not on the best of terms right now. It can be that, or it can be, wow, it's been so easy. It's the middle of summer. I've been at the beach the whole time. I don't need to go to the, you know, I don't need to go pray.
Right.
Like, my life's been good.
Yep.
And I feel like we have these really big extremes, but really we need to be able to persevere in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do that? What are some practical ways that we can persevere in prayer?
Yeah, I appreciate your gym imagery there. I was thinking too of like yard work, and you know, Austin just moved into a new house, and I think on the one end up front, right? And you dealt with this when you see a mess, maybe it's really hard to get going because you're like, where do we start? You know, it's going to be like, you know, putting gum on the Titanic kind of thing, you know. And the other end, once you get it nice, and it's nice and green, and it's looking good, then you're like, oh, we don't have to put in the work anymore, and we know how we'll go back toward the other if not. And I think prayer can be like that too. Like you said, if things are really hard in our life, and or maybe we have prayed and didn't see the results we wanted anyways, it's hard to really get in that rhythm, or if we've lost that, to say, like, well, where do I even begin? So one of the suggestions we made even in the sermon was just don't overcommit, maybe at first. Just say, where can I start? Someplace small. Mm-hmm. Just like in your yard, you're like, all right, we got to take out this overgrowth. This is bad. Let's handle that. Well, yeah, that's all over there too.
Actually, I think the yard analogy is so good. So my wife and I were, we got some raised beds, and we wanted to get those raised beds in place. But there was a whole bunch of old fencing that was still in the way. You got to take down that old fencing in order to get the new raised beds put in place. You got to get rid of all of this old stuff that's not even necessarily fun to be able to actually put in the new quality materials.
Just doing the cleanup work to get to put in what you want to. So I don't know. I think if you're listening, and I think honestly most Christians go through some pretty dry times of prayer where it's just not built in much with the rhythm. Or if it is, we kind of said this too yesterday, it can sometimes be a little bit of a thoughtless or mindless kind of prayer. Like, oh yeah, I pray at meals, but I say the same three sentences and I'm not really thinking about it much. Just trying to take some, like, where can I spend maybe just a minute and pray? Or maybe it is even just, I'm going to use the Lord's Prayer and I wash my hands every day. So that's, I'm going to, just to try and build in, like you said, just to take out this old fencing and to try and put in a little better rhythm in my life. And on the other end, right, you got the beautiful yard and things are going well, and maybe even you've had a good prayer rhythm. Try not to take that for granted, and understanding maybe it's remembering where you've come from before. For in your case, like, remember what this used to look like? We don't want to go back there, so let's do the work we need to do. Let's keep talking to God in this case. Let's keep turning to our spiritual base.
That's such a – this analogy keeps working better and better in my mind because it's like you've got this nice – you don't want those weeds coming back in. And, yeah, sometimes you got to look back on those, you know, before pictures and see, wow, this was really weedy. Like, Austin's life was not very good at this point. There's a lot of weeds in Austin's spiritual life at that point. Let's – you know, we're going to take some time and do some weeding.
And that constant works, right? So I deal with weeds in our yard too. And some weeks I'm like, I don't really want to deal with that. Well, guess what? Next week when I come back, there's twice as many, and they're taller and they're tougher. And I think we're in a spiritual struggle. That's what we talked about. And to just push off prayer, it's going to make some of these other issues just get larger. And not that there's not challenges, even when we're in a perfect prayer routine. There's still tests and there's challenges in that. But so, yeah, trying to see that how important this is. But then, yeah, if you're on the drier end of things, trying to build in just a little bit. Don't, you know, we had spiritual direction in that when I was first starting seminary, and we were trying to put together some rhythms for good spiritual practices. And they cautioned us. They said, you're going to look at these, and they're all going to sound good, and you're going to say, well, I'm going to do all 10 of these things within a day. And you're not going to be able to do it, and then you'll get discouraged and not do any. So don't do that if you're listening, right? don't say, well, now I'm going to start praying 3 hours every morning when you haven't been. No, like just start and say, what's something I can do? Maybe just a minute. Or if you're married or someone else, maybe I just want to pray with that person in an intentional way. Or maybe make yourself a small list of, here's four people I know in my life that I want to commit to pray for. And maybe that's a way to go into it.
I think thinking of it almost like a sport is a great way to do that. Because, like, there's no way you're going to throw me on a football field and I'm going to be able to, you know, make a, you know, Super Bowl winning touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. I'm going to need to train to do that if I wanted to do that. I'm going to need to train for years.
Yeah.
And so why do we expect out of our spiritual life the dedication that takes years to acquire, the perseverance that has taken years to acquire?
Yeah. Well, I think that's true in prayer. You probably experience this too, Austin, where, you know, I'll be in prayer with someone and they're praying and I just have a sense, you can tell this is not their first time praying. This person, the conversation with the Lord is very regular for them. You can tell, like you said, they've been disciplined in this. It's a gift of theirs. They've gone often to the spiritual base, and you can tell. Not even just in the words they use, but often just maybe the way they go about things. And so, yeah, just an encouragement, I think, for us in this conversation to persevere. We want all of us to be encouraged to say, yeah, the door is always open. God is inviting us, calling us. 600-something times really saying, I just want you to pray.
Yeah.
And just to come to him and know what he can give to us in that. So, yeah, wherever you're at, we can try to take that next step forward.
And we all got to take the baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I prep Dan ahead of time. I'm like, here's the questions I'm thinking of. This is one I've got off the spot. So
okay. We'll
see how this goes. but when sometimes, especially when we're in that harder parts where we're like, we've been praying for years with no results or not the results we're wanting. One thing often that I have been encouraged by was, you know, I'll read the Psalms, you know, read what David said to God. And to be honest, a lot of the things David has said to God are things that I'm scared to say to God. He's very upfront. And I just wonder, how do we navigate genuine communication? Like, I need to tell God how I'm actually feeling with, this is also God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's this level of respect and honor that he deserves. How do we balance this? This is where I am and how I feel, but I know you are God. How do we live in that tension?
In general, I always encourage people, you know, bring it to the Lord. I mean, he knows what's stirring in your heart anyways. It's not like he's not aware. And I think you see that, like you said, in the Psalms. I mean, David and the other psalmists are quite point blank at times. You know, you've done this. You know, you've turned a deaf ear to us. You know, turn and see us again. And I often say, you know, God can handle it. And, you know, and coming to him, we're expressing faith that you can do something about this, God. And, you know, we don't understand what's going on. And we're frustrated, but we're turning to you. It's, of course, different than flat out cursing the Lord. You know, when you mentioned Job earlier, you know, with the prayers, and, you know, his wife says, you know, just curse God and die. Well, Job is continuing the conversation, but not in that vein. He's got plenty of questions. I mean, it's pointed at times, but he's doing so still of a wondering in this relationship. God, I want to know, and I think I deserve to know even, and all that. And God answers him and, you know, puts him in his place, so to speak, but also says you went about it the right way is really the communication at the end. So I think that's... you know, I think there's a good piece that says, whoa, that's pretty strong language. I don't know. We need to have that respect, of course, for the Lord, but he can handle it. And just like we need to talk about what's going on in our hearts with each other, we first and foremost probably need to talk about it with the Lord. And I often think of Zechariah and Elizabeth, you know, in Luke 1, who no doubt had been praying for a child for years and years. And we don't get the insight. I thought, man, maybe they had even given up on it, given up on asking, just like some of us pray for something for such a long time. We're like, well, maybe that's just not what God wants, and so I'm going to go a different direction. And then God provides a child for them in that case. And so I don't know, that perseverance, too, it's not always just like, well, I'm going to keep asking for the same thing. Sometimes that maybe changes.
I'm going to keep humbly presenting myself and at least, you know, trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and wrestling with that. Well, maybe this isn't, you know, what you were leading me. I thought I heard this, but maybe it's something different. For me in my life, it's often been coming to the conclusion, I really desire this or think I would need this, think this would be good. However, I'm going to put my trust in you, and whichever way you lead this, Lord, I'll be all right. And many times when I've reached that point, that's when God's been saying, okay, you're finally ready for whatever I'm going to lead you to. Now you actually trust me. So persevering in that conversation gets us to that trust where we say, well, we sang, the praise team sang that song from Jesus' Prayer in Gethsemane, not my will, but yours. Yeah,
that's good. Thanks, Dan. Another element that we talked about was prayer for our fellow saints. And that's kind of, in a ways, been one of the big themes of the Deeper podcast. We talk about this almost every week in that we need community. We can't do this in community. That's kind of, you know, that's half of our whole shtick here.
Right. Like, we can't do it alone.
We cannot do it alone. So that was really good. But I would like to twist it a little bit and go a direction we didn't super go on Sunday, which is... praying for our enemy, you know, because you have heard it said, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. You know, this is something that we are called to do. We are instructed to do. And I feel like, at least, I don't know, I do this personally, and pretty much everyone I've talked to has admitted they do this personally. You know, if they ever do pray for their enemies, it's, you know, God, help this person see clearly because they are confused.
Right.
Or God, give them wisdom so that they can navigate and maybe change the direction they're going.
Yeah.
It's not really praying for the success, and it's not really praying for their health. It's praying for them to stop being my enemies and just work with me and do what I want.
Right. It's a selfish prayer masked as a...
Absolutely. Yeah. So then how can we get out of the habit of selfish prayers for our enemies? And then two, how do we genuinely pray for our enemies in a genuine way? Is there like changes of language or how should we do that?
Yeah, this is really good because even, you know, Paul says, pray for all the saints. All of them. And in the church, there's still people that we don't really like that much, even in the church.
Yeah.
That we just, you know, maybe we wouldn't call them an enemy, but they're still hard for us and hard to pray for. And in the same way, we're like, boy, I wish, you know, Lord, we pray that, you know, so-and-so would kind of see things a little more clearly. And I mean, like me.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's true, let alone sometimes outside or, you know, forces we see around the world in that. Yeah, how do we keep ourselves? I mean, you did a nice job identifying that reality. So honesty with ourselves, that that's where I'm prone to go. Really what I want is this person to be more like me very often, right? Or to see things my way. That goes a long way into cutting us off from praying that way when we know that's where we're going. Maybe it's following some of the examples of Jesus. And, you know, sometimes we talk about even the depiction of the chosen in that miniseries and seeing that. And, you know, Jesus is very patient. And, of course, going about praying for people and working with the Pharisees who are very clearly opposing him. Other times he's pretty upfront. But, maybe just trying to think, and I know we make this point a lot in the podcast, too, of the image bearing and how we share that.
Yes.
And this is a human being there. Even if they're from a completely different culture and doing things that I think are harmful to other people, or what is it that they as a human being need, you know, as we think of even the Lord's Prayer, the needs we have, forgiveness of sins and provision from the Lord physically every day and deliverance from evil. I mean, those are prayers that maybe aren't selfish. It might just, you know, the enemy's trying to attack everybody. And Lord, protect this person from that kind of leading. So maybe just kind of protecting ourselves from our agenda and trying to see. Sometimes it just takes empathy.
Yep.
Imagination. You know, think about, just use the example of political leaders.
Sure.
Because Scripture uses it. You know, Paul writes that in 1 Timothy 2. Like, you need to be praying for the leaders there. And that's probably struck people strange then, too. Like, Caesar? You know?
Right.
So, think about that now. And it's so easy for me to get caught up in, like, this person promotes this particular kind of policy, so I don't like them. Versus thinking, boy, I wonder what it'd be like to be in that position as a congressperson or the president or whoever. Like, boy, there's probably a lot of things pulling at them. There's probably a lot of stress. Well, they got a family too, and there's problems in their family. And that can maybe help me pray more humanly for those people as I think about, this is not just someone in a position. This is a person. And what do they have going? And God, help them as they navigate that. And
And one thing that I've found, I've not done this as much as I should. So this is definitely a do as I say and not as I do, but also do as I'm hoping to do more in the future. Yes. That I've found to be really good with, especially with this example, but it is so much easier to pray for someone who you've considered an enemy or an opponent or something once you understand really where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is, if you're in a conversation with someone who you couldn't disagree with more fundamentally, just sit, ask, why do you believe what you believe? Why are you trying to do this? How does this impact you? Don't try and convince them of why that's wrong. Don't try and give your perspective on it. Just listen to see where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives us a chance to be like, okay, God, this person clearly cares very deeply about something, not necessarily what or how I care about it, but we can identify that we have this shared, we both are passionate about trying to improve the world.
Mm-hmm.
We just have very different ways of doing that necessarily. And then I can pray, Lord, help this person to actively change the world in a way that honors you. Because I've identified they're made in the image of God and they're trying to seek the betterment of the world oftentimes. They just might see it differently.
Right, right. Well, and especially within the church, like
especially well, coming from that
shared foundation. And outside, I think, you know, for us as Christians, you know, we believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so that's always okay to pray. You know, hey, we all need Jesus. That's what we believe.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we pray that this person would know Jesus. And we think that there's nothing better than to be shaped by his perspective and serving him as Lord. But yeah, certainly we can pray. You know, I think even in Paul's time, you know, there's, oh, these people are preaching the gospel out of selfish motivations. And at one point he writes, but at least the gospel is being preached. And you think, boy, isn't that a trouble? And maybe it did cause some. And there's a point where the disciples come to Jesus and they're like, oh, some other people were casting out demons, but they're not of the 12 here. And Jesus says, well, that's all right. You know, there's, you know, they're doing some good things there. And so that struggle was always there of, you know, well, it's got to be exactly our way and it's got to look this way too. And we can easily cut off what might be good things we can learn. And, you know, we can easily make straw man arguments too out of other people's pieces. And just listening to something the other day, it said we should make steel man arguments for those we're opposing. We should try to put their argument in the best light, uphold them as a person. And even if we're going to come down and say, yeah, I still just don't see it from that vantage point. I think this is probably a better way or whatever it is, but we shouldn't just, by treating sometimes where someone's coming from as terrible, we're treating them that way too.
Right. Another thing that I don't know if this makes sense to you, Dan, but that I've found helpful when we're trying to pray for enemies is identify, okay, so like this person said something that really hurt me or someone I care about, and I'm like, man, this... I'm really struggling with this person. And I'm thinking, okay, I've definitely said something that really hurt someone in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, help them be gentle and help me continue to be gentle. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because I found that, like, again, if we're praying the same thing over ourselves and those other people, that really, it really helps bridge that gap and humanizes them, helps us see the image of God in them and stops this othering.
Yeah, that humility. Approaching our prayer with humility should always be there, but not even just toward God, but toward each other as well. I don't have all the answers. And, you know, Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, there's times where it might be very clear from our perspective that this is a harmful action or that word, that was hurtful, not even just to me, maybe to somebody else. But, you know, like you said, there's been times when I've done that and didn't even see it.
Yep.
Thought it was perfectly justified or was the right thing to do. And so like just asking, not only that, you know, God, yeah, protect them spiritually, but, yeah, I know I've been there. So Lord, help them to see perhaps, what's going on and the impact it's having, in people's lives. So yeah, I think it's a good reminder. Scripture is very clear about that too. It's not just the people that are easy to pray for. As Jesus says somewhere, you know, that, you know, you just do good to those who do good to you. Even the pagans do that. And you could say the same thing for prayer. You just pray for people who are easy to pray for. Well, anybody can do that.
Right.
It's praying for people who are tougher for us.
And that really demonstrates that we do actually trust God to do his stuff. And that we do trust that he is in control and powerful.
Mm-hmm. And I think the more we persevere in prayer, the easier that becomes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff, Dan. So we're now done with this Armor of God series, which I'm a little sad about. I loved this series, but I am excited for what's coming up next. But as we look back at this Armor of God series, were there any themes that stuck out to you that you weren't expecting to stick out as much, or specific elements or messages or aspects that you're like, wow, I'm walking away with a renewed appreciation of this?
I think personally, and I'll just say this for myself, even studying and being in each week, what struck me is just the needed intentionality on my part. And that imagery we used of, you know, I think every day about the clothes I'm going to put on. We talked about the heat up front. This morning I got up and thought, it's going to be 90. I'm wearing shorts. You know, if I had given no thought, maybe I put on my parka. I think about that every day. I should be at least as intentional thinking about my spiritual clothing. Mm. And so that's, for me personally, I'm trying to do that and bring that into my daily life of, all right, you know, what's going to be out there today? What do I need to think about? How might the enemy attack? And so I think that really struck me, that this calls for intentionality and that God gives us what we need. It's there for us, that peace. And I don't know, a lot of the interconnectivity, it makes sense, but I think that became clear to me, like, oh, these things all tie together. They strengthen each other, work together in so many ways. When you talk about righteousness, salvation, scripture, prayer, all these things. Yeah. I think I'll say, too, because maybe not everybody was with us on Sunday, but we do have, in regards to the series, several pieces of material you could pick up here at church or ask us about to keep connecting with this. We had some bracelets. We had some little cards that have all the pieces of armor. There's a booklet summary. You know, I know Austin and I talked about, if you wanted just the files with the sermons on them, we could get that together on a thumb drive. So if you wanted to keep connecting with this in some way, shape, or form, or keep it before you, yeah, we have some ways that you can do that. But yeah, I loved it too. It's such a concrete, the imagery is very vivid, of course. Mm-hmm. I had so many conversations with people that were like, even before the series, said, oh, we've connected with this before, it's been meaningful, and that's awesome. I think it's really been a fruitful time. I know for me, and it sounds like, you know, for our congregation to just spend these weeks in this particular passage. So
yeah. So what then are we looking forward to in the future? Because we've got a pretty big series coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Summer's a different time, and we understand that, especially here in West Michigan. You know, we don't get great weather all the time, but summer's pretty nice. And we got lakes and everything, so we know people are coming and going. So usually in the summer, we try to have a series where, yeah, if you miss a week, you come back. It's not like, you know, boy, they were building on that and we missed it. So last couple of years, we've done things like, you know, trees in Scripture and images of water in Scripture. This year, we're going to connect with some of the stories involving animals in Scripture. And you'd be surprised how often animals play a role in some of these different stories. And so Sunday morning's really starting this coming week, and then we're going to have some worship services outdoors. All the way through, we're going to connect Old and New Testament with some of those stories. And this Sunday morning coming up is going to be from Numbers chapter 22, which is a story of Balaam, this prophet, and his donkey who speaks in the passage. It's a pretty wild story, but probably one we learned from when we were little because of that. So I'm looking forward to getting into that, and some of the reminder is God saying to this supposedly spiritual expert, the Lord saying, I'll speak through whoever and whatever I want to speak through. I'm the one in control here, right? If I want the donkey to speak my word, the donkey will speak my word.
I'm sure that there are no parallels to our modern church situation, for sure.
Yeah, and it's always there, right? And I got to be careful because I'm in the position of spiritual expert.
Right.
There's a word there for somebody like me, for sure. But yeah, so all kinds of different stories will hit, I think, this summer. So I'm looking forward to it.
And, good stuff. Yeah. So am I. I can't wait for it, Dan. Thank you again so much for coming on this week. Thank you to all of you listening, and we will be back next time.